Acts chapter 2,
when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. We know we talked a little bit about this in the class this morning. You don't see wind, and so they heard wind. You can hear wind blowing, whistling and blowing through the trees, but you can't see it. You only see the effect of the wind. So there was the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting. And so wind is one of the many symbols in the scripture of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The wind of the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to give you a little example, maybe a little illustration from my life and experience. When I was a young boy, I mowed yards in my neighborhood. And I've talked about this a little bit, but I mowed, there's very few of the yards on the street, on our side of the street or the opposite side of the street, that at least one time I haven't mowed it. And then even on streets over from where my mom and dad, my mom still lives in the same place that they moved there when I was 4 years old, so that's a long time to live in the same house. But all on the streets behind and in front, and many of the people that lived there were older people. Some of them were elderly, and some of them were widows. And so I mowed for them, and I made big money doing it. These yards were huge, and I would get paid about $3.50 or $4 for the lawn. And then I would get paid another dollar and a half to weed eat. This was before the days that weed eaters were invented. And so you use hand clippers to go all the way around the back fence or around the house by hand. And I would get a dollar and a half to do that. Big money, lots of work to do in a steamy, hot Oklahoma. Let me tell you, it gets hot in Kentucky, but it don't get hot here like it gets hot in Oklahoma. I mean, it just gets miserably hot in Oklahoma. Now, I was trying to remember which one of these ladies' houses it was. I don't remember which one it was. I just remember the effect. I can tell you down the line the names of the people that I mowed for and particular things about each one of them, which is not pertinent to this message tonight, so I won't go through all that for you. But I do know there was one particular lady, elderly woman, that she kept her house closed up in the sweltering heat of Oklahoma. She kept her house sealed up, the curtains drawn, the blinds drawn, or whatever she had. It was dark in her house in the middle of the day, and I would step in the back door, and she would get my little bit of money that I thought was a lot of money, and she would get it for me. Sometimes she would offer me a glass of water or something after the couple hours that I'd worked in her yard. But I just remember the stifling, stale house with very little light and hardly any air movement, and how that was just a horrible, horrible thing. But she lived there. Most time, older people, they get to the place Mabel mentioned to me this morning when she came in the door. She said, "Oh, it's so cold in here." And I said, "Yeah, and before the service is over, there'll be a half a dozen people fanning in here. So just bundle up or something. Do the best you can because it's going to get warmer in here as it is tonight." There's something about a staleness of no wind movement, no air, no fresh air, that's unforgettable. And all these many years, I remember it's a very vivid memory in my mind of that house and the circumstance of that house. And as I was thinking, meditating on the wind of the Spirit, I just got to thinking about this and how it's possible for your spiritual life to get just in that same condition. And for you not to even realize that there's no air movement, there's a staleness, there's no life, it's just dead and stifling, and you don't even realize the spiritual condition that you are in. You can get in that condition. The church can get in that condition where there's no real air movement. Of course, I'm talking about the wind of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that should be blowing in our lives, in our church, in our ministries, all that we attempt to do in the name of the Lord. We desperately need the wind of the Spirit of God. Amen. John chapter 3 and verse 8. We also read this verse in the Sunday school lesson this morning. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is just like that. It's like the wind that blows, and you don't have any control over it yourself. You can't control the movements of God or the Spirit of God or God's working among us. But we can prepare ourselves to receive. We can open up the windows, pull the blinds, and get a little air blowing. Give it at least a little opportunity for the air to blow. I also grew up in a house before air conditioning, it wasn't invented in our house yet. And we had what was called a water cooler or a swamp cooler. How many knows what that is? One, two. Colorado knows about swamp coolers. Anybody else? Two or three of you know. It's just a big old apparatus with a big fan in it, and it had a water line that ran to it, and it kept water in the bottom of the cooler so that that air would pick up the coolness of that water and put a little moisture into the air, and it would blow right into the window of your house. And it wasn't like an air conditioner, but it felt really good on some of those really, really terribly hot days. That's what we had at my house growing up before the day of an air conditioner came and was placed in the window. But you turn that on and get a little air movement in there, and you were fine. You were doing just fine. You could cool off and be somewhat comfortable. And then in the evening, my dad would turn it off, and then he would say to us, everybody open up your windows. So all would go to our bedrooms, and we'd all open up our windows, and my dad would turn on the attic fan. Nobody knows what an attic fan is. There's another three or four of you. Fan in the centrally located in the hallway of the house. And when it came on, it didn't blow air in. It sucked air into the attic. And that sucking the air out of the house into the attic would pull the air in those windows that were opened. Well, some of you are really learning some things tonight about the good old days. The attic fans. Now, when we would first go to bed at night, it would be okay, a little air blowing in those windows because of that attic fan. But by morning, we were looking for more blankets because the cool air, temperature had dropped a little bit, and the cool air that was coming in is wonderful. Now, I couldn't stand it now because of allergies, but back in the day, it was wonderful. And the most wonderful thing about it was the air was moving. Amen. I've been on a few missions trips where the air wasn't moving. Like in Haiti, where the air wasn't moving and the air conditioner was on and then it went off. And you just laid there. No air was moving and you could just feel the sweat just pouring off of you because there was nowhere to get any air blowing on you. Poor old Ken Taylor got out of his bed, or did he have a bed? He got out off of a mattress and was laying on the tile floor trying to cool off.
in the middle of the night. It's a miserable thing when there is no air movement. And it's a terrible thing in the realm of spiritual things when there is no movement of the air. What do you do? Well, you have to open up the spiritual windows. You have to invite the Lord to move in your life. That attic fan would suck out the air, and so you need to allow the Lord to remove what you don't need and get a little airflow flowing into your life. The moving of God, the moving of the Spirit of God. And what a difference it makes in the church and everything we do. I mean, you can have a stale, dead song service, or you can have a song service where the life of the Spirit of God is flowing. Amen. And that's true in every part of the service. That you can either open up the windows and expect God to move and ask Him to blow by His Spirit upon you, and He will. Now, you can't control the wind, but you can prepare for it. As someone said, you can't control the wind, but you can set your sails. You can set your sails for the wind so that when it does blow, you can catch the wind and you can be moved by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, the wind, the word for wind, we talked also about this in Sunday school this morning, the word pneuma, which just is describing the wind of the Spirit. It is the Greek word for wind, and we get our word pneumonia and our word pneumatic and some other words that we get from that pneuma word. It just means the wind of the Spirit, the blowing and wind of the Spirit of God. The wind is invisible. The wind is unpredictable, but you can set your sails. You can open up the windows. You can pull the blinds. You can make preparation for God to work and to move. And so that when He does move, you will be prepared. You will be ready and receptive to receive from the Lord. I was reminded of the circumstance on the day of when Christ resurrected from the dead, that Mary Magdalene was there, and she didn't even recognize at first who that was. She thought it was a worker, a gardener, someone there. It was really Jesus that revealed Himself to her there in the garden. She runs to tell the disciples, and you know the story. They came to see, but they're still in unbelief. They're still hiding for fear. And it says in John 20 and verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, all shut up in that stifling room, scared to death, afraid, and they needed something to happen. They needed the wind of the Spirit of God to blow into that place and that was full of fear and doubt and unbelief. And they were stifled in that room, all shut up in a place where there was no movement of air at all. And then it says that the Lord Jesus stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when He had said so, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Things are changing now. The atmosphere is changing in that room now. Jesus is here, and he's convincing us. He truly is the resurrected Lord. He shows us the wounds in His hands and reveals Himself to them. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Then here's the key in verse 22. And when He had said this, He breathed on them. It's the pneuma word. He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Praise God. There they are in this stifling room, all shut up, afraid, fearful, doubtful. Unbelief was controlling their circumstances. And Jesus appeared and revealed Himself as the resurrected Lord. And then reminds them of their calling and their commission. I'm sending you out. And then the Bible says that He breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. The wind of the Spirit of God, the same wind that in just a few days was going to blow into that upper room, blew in that room that was shut up where those disciples were. And the Spirit of God blew into that room when he told them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a lot of things in your life, unbelief, problems, physical problems, family problems. There's a lot of things that can create your world that's just stifling and nothing happening and no movement and just the most miserable situation that you could possibly be in spiritually, where there's nothing happening in your walk with the Lord, and you long for that, and you're desiring God to move into your situation. And it might look like it's really difficult and hopeless. It may be the doors are shut, the windows are shut, and your circumstance is dark and no fresh air and nothing going on, nothing new or fresh from the Lord. You're just existing in that kind of a miserable existence. But the Lord wants you to open up the windows. He wants you to invite the Lord to come in. He wants you to understand that he's the resurrected Lord who has commissioned you and can breathe upon you and anoint you to do the things that he's called you to do. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says that this is really his creative power that brings life. There is life in the breath of God. Life in the breath of God. Genesis 2 and 7. It says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So that the man shaped, Adam shaped out of the dust of the earth was just that. That's all he was, a lifeless form until the life-giving wind of God blew into his nostrils, and the Bible says he became a living soul. Praise God. As a matter of fact, when you look at creation, he breathed in several of the circumstances of creation. He breathed upon the waters. He breathed into and brought life to the circumstance. Psalm 33 and 6, the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Praise God. Everything that the breath of God touches brings it to life. The Spirit of God that blows upon the person that's cold and backslidden and hasn't really been moved or touched by the presence of God for a long time. All it takes is just the breath of God, just the moving of the Spirit, the wind of the Spirit of God to blow upon you and upon me for us to once again to have life. Amen. You know, we all know the account from Ezekiel 37, that vision of Ezekiel where he saw the valley that was full of dry bones. The scripture says, and they were very dry. I mean, they were parched in the sun. There was no possibility of restoration. But we know that Ezekiel was commanded to prophesy to those bones, and that's what he did. And those bones began to come back together. He prophesied to them. They came back together, and there was flesh and sinews, and they came back together. The bodies formed miraculously, formed again, this great army that had died there in that desert came back to life after that. He tells him the second time, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you know that the most dead, lifeless Christian can come to life and do some mighty things for God if the wind of the Spirit of God blows upon them? Amen. The most dead and lifeless situation can come to life and has great potential when the wind of the Spirit of God blows. Ezekiel prophesied to the four winds that blew upon those, upon that that body, and that body came to life, and that entire army came to life, an exceeding great army that spoke of great potential and power and influence and all that was possible because of the wind of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you have a desire for that? It is the reason why that I am motivated, and I feel so much like this is from the Lord, that even if it's a few, the Lord is able to do great things, even if it's only by a few, if we'll really, really seek the Lord. Let's turn the Wednesday night service into a time where we're asking God to blow upon our church, that the wind of God would blow upon our services, upon every person, every man and woman, every family, every household, that every one of us would ask God, Lord, would you blow upon this church the wind of the Spirit of God once again? Because we can't survive the staleness. You know, even the fire of the Spirit of God can't survive. Fire can't survive without oxygen. There has to be wind. Even if fire is going to survive, there has to be the blowing, the wind of the Spirit of God. Even if the fire is going to survive. And so I believe that the Lord, he wants to stir up a hunger and a desire in our hearts so that we when we come together, we know what to pray about. We know what the need is. We know how to call upon the Lord because we need the freshness of the wind of the Spirit of God. I would turn around from that lady's house and go out and sit under the shade tree that just a few minutes before, it seemed like it was really hot, even under the shade tree. But compared to that house all stale and hot and shut up, it was like it was an air conditioning out there under the shade tree. And she was oblivious to it. She lived in that every day of her life. And I guess she was comfortable. And a lot of folks, we just get comfortable. No move of God, no move of the Spirit of God, nothing really fresh or new happening, no real wind of the Spirit of God blowing upon us. And we get satisfied with that. And God has so much more for his people. So much more for his church, for this church right here, the First Pentecostal Church in London, Kentucky. The Lord wants to blow upon this church by the wind of the Spirit of God and turn the staleness and the lifelessness and the death and the dry bones and all of that circumstance that might be overtaking your life and you've just kind of got used to it, satisfied with it. But I believe that the Lord wants to move in a wonderful way. Let's open up the windows. Let's get all the potential. Let's do everything we can. Let's suck out all the staleness and the everything else that's out of our life. Let's replace it with a hunger for God. Let's replace it with a zeal for God, with a prayer of sincerity, a prayer that's a cry unto the Lord, asking the Lord to bless us and to pour out his Spirit upon our church in a new, fresh way. Amen. As I said, we're celebrating this year 110 years. And I've read about it. Actually, one of the best pieces of historical information we have is from Anna Jane Walker, who, when she was going to Union College, decided to write a paper on the history of our church. And so she researched, and so much of the information that we have, other than word of mouth, comes from the report and that she had made on the history of this church. We've got a wonderful, rich history. The move of God at the beginning of the beginning days of First Pentecostal Church. How the Lord moved in those early years in the outpouring of the Spirit right here in this community, in this town. Before there was a church building built. Before, when they were meeting at stables and in other homes and other locations, a theater, I believe, that they met in here over the period of a few years before a building was even built down on 4th Street. The Spirit of God was moving. God was working. God was blessing and saving and touching the lives of people. And we've experienced that, and we've had that throughout our history. Moves of God, where God has blessed and saved and touched the lives of people. But we're living in a very, very challenging and a dark time right now. We really desperately, I can't believe that there's ever been a more time, a more needy time than right now, as far as our church is concerned. So I pray that the Lord would give us a hunger and a desire and an expectancy, believing that the Lord is going to blow by the wind of the Spirit upon His people. D.L. Moody was a preacher, famous. Everybody has heard of the name D.L. Moody. But from all accounts, he was pretty much just a mediocre preacher. He didn't have good grammar. He didn't have a lot of natural talent as far as speaking, public speaking, was concerned. But his ministry took a major turn right after the great fire of Chicago. His own church was burnt, was in complete loss in that fire. And so he went to New York City, and he'd been advised, go to New York City and who to see there, and begin to make an appeal to raise some funds to try to rebuild the church. He said when he got there, he went there to try to raise funds, but it was during that time, he said, I could not do it. I could not beg anyone for money. I could not do it. And he said, the Lord had just burdened my heart so much. He said, during that time, God moved upon me in such a mighty way. He said, I could not beg for money. I was crying all the time that God would fill me with His Holy Spirit. One day in New York City, he says, oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. It is almost too sacred of an experience to name. His ministry was changed by that experience. No doubt it was the wind of the Spirit. It was the outpouring of the Spirit upon his life. His ministry changed. The sermons were pretty much the same. His natural abilities didn't really improve all that much, but there was a new power. There was a freshness in his ministry. There was a touch of God upon his ministry. And not only in the States, but in England and other places where he went, wonderful moves of God, great numbers of people that were swept into the kingdom of God. It was because that he had desired the wind of the Spirit of God to blow upon his life. Charles Finney had much the same type of experience. The Holy Spirit, he said, descended upon me in such a manner that it seemed to go through me like a wave of electricity. Waves and waves of liquid love. This is a quote from Finney. Like the very breath of God, like I was being fanned with immense wings. Praise God. And he was changed. Finney was changed. He had been a lawyer, an attorney, became born again. But eventually, before he began to really make the impact up on the lives of people, it's estimated that maybe as many as 1 million people in this country came to the Lord as a result of Finney's ministry. That's a miracle. That happened because of just the Holy Ghost upon him, the Spirit of God working in his life and in his ministry. Do you understand that things can change? And they can change really quick in my life and in your life if we are endued with power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Things can really change. And God can begin to do that. And he can begin to do that really soon as we really seek the Lord with our whole heart and do like I've already illustrated here tonight. Open up the windows. Open up the door. Do something. It gets stifling. There's a staleness and a deadness. I don't like it. You don't like it. And we must move out of it. Amen. We must move out of it and ask the Lord to pour His Spirit out upon us. Amen. I'm not accusing anyone. I'm just saying us. I'm one of you. We're all in this together. I'm not pointing my finger at anyone and saying, you're the reason why. I'm saying, we're the reason why. We all need to desire and to hunger for God to pour out His Spirit upon us in a new and a fresh way. Is that your desire? Is that your desire? Amen. Let's begin to call upon the Lord. Would you stand with me? here tonight. Many things we can pray about, but let's take this time right now just to call upon the Lord. I invite you to pray at your seat, here at the altar, standing, sitting, however you can best pray. But I'd like us to close out this service tonight, calling upon the Lord and asking the Lord, Lord, blow upon me. Blow upon me by your Holy Spirit. I need something fresh. I need you to touch me, Lord. I need to hear your voice. I need to receive your touch. And if you seemingly don't have much desire, you've kind of gotten used to the way it is, then I pray that the Lord would help you to see there's so much that God wants to provide for his church. Could we pray together tonight? Could we call upon the Lord tonight? And I invite you all to find a place and let's call upon the Lord here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.